Kevin Sheehan is here, and he joins us from the East Coast. Thanks for your time, Kev. It's nice to have a chat to you, mate.
Yeah, just a week out from the draft. Carl, great to be with you again.
Well, mate, this is where you shine. This is all that hard work that you and your team do behind the scenes, getting these kids through the programs that have been developed over time, and you've come up. I got your top 40 hot off the press here in front of me, and it looks like there is a lot of depth in this draft. Is that fair to say?
Well, Cal, I think that's the way that the clubs view it. When we say depth, there'll be probably about 75 or 80 youngsters get a chance next Friday night. And when I say youngsters, most of them, 85%, will be boys that are up for the draft for the first time, 18-year-olds as such from right around Australia. And we think early it's going to be midfield rather than there'll be a big kid from WA go pretty early, but mainly be midfielders early as distinct from last year where there was a lot of key position types. You know, Big Shaq and Wietering were the first two taken big key position players, but we think really it is a smaller or a midfield draft early, but stacks of depth down the back.
Kevin, Kim Hagdon here. All the best for Friday. It's your grand final after a big year. How many West Australians can you predict for us?
Well, I reckon there's probably a dozen in the mix.
Yep.
There's certainly going to be three very, very early, which is fantastic for them. And, will it be Sam Petrescu-Seaton, the first one taken, the boy from the Kimberleys, from up there at Halls Creek? He's been such a brilliant, promising player now for about 3 years on the radar of all the clubs. First spot as a 15-year-old. He played for Northwest Academy in third division of our under-16 championships. And he won the what's called the Mark Browning Medal, named after Mark, the former Swans captain, has done a lot of work up in Queensland in developing talent. And Sam won that as a 15-year-old. The next year won the under-16 first division best and fairest. The following year is an All-Australian as a 17-year-old. And then this year had a few little injury setbacks, but just reminded us the elite talent late in the year. He captained Claremont Colts to a premiership. And then the All-Star Game, which is another feature event we put on in Grand Final week, well, he showed us straight away what enormous potential he has. So I think he probably leads your crew from WA with Tim English, of course, the boy that,
big ruckman.
No doubt at 205 centimetres. He's the first tall taken. Is he a top tenner? He's certainly a first rounder. He's the best of his time. He's a bit like Rory Lobb, the big boy at the Giants, another Western Australian that can take those contested marks, is mobile, good below the knees, and again, a boy that made All-Australian in the middle of the year. So they look to be a couple. The third one is Griffin Logue, a boy that really come on late in the year with his performances. He stepped up at Swan Districts from Colts to reserves to first and then dropped back around finals time to show that he has learned a lot this year. This big lefty that plays in a key defensive position. He tested brilliantly our combine over. He's a super first choice athlete. Big, powerful bugger. A left footer. Dash. He's got all of the qualities of key position down back at AFL level. So probably that'd be the three boys that people are talking about in the first round.
We need to know who Essendon's first pick is going to be because that will probably influence like where Sam Petrescu-Seaton goes, Griffin Logue, Tim English. Have you got a feel for what Essendon are going to do with that first pick? Because it's critical to certainly the first round, I reckon, Kevin.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, they're saying very publicly that they'll consider Setterfield. He's the kid from the Giants that they bid on. Mm-hmm. But they won't take him. Surely they won't give up the pick because the Giants would match that bid and then get the prestigious number one. And Essendon then get the number two choice. And it'd take away from trying to sell hope, I think, to their fans, their members. So I think that's a bit of a bluff. I think it'll be Cluggage or McGrath. The two Macs are the boys to consider. And they're different types, but both had brilliant years. McCluggage is he's a 185-centimetre midfielder, creative goal kicker, a prolific ball winner, dominated Nationals. He was MVP for Vic Country. And he's a boy off the farm down around Warrnambool. A country lad that's got a great balance about him, composed individual off the ground too. So no faults there. And then Andrew McGrath is a Vic Metro boy that won their most valuable. On his CV this year, he's also best on the ground in the TAC Cup Grand Final over here with 38 disposals. He's just done everything this year. And he's a boy that a couple of years ago was aspiring to be in the Olympics. He was the Victorian under-17 hurdles champion. So he's a fantastic first-choice athlete. So he gave away the Olympic dream and focused on an AFL dream, and we're pretty glad he did. So I reckon it's one of the two Macs that goes at one. And then it might well unfold from there with, again, some other bids. A kid called Jack Bowes from far north Queensland, from Cairns. Someone will bid on him in the first half a dozen or so. A smooth-moving midfielder that plays some great footy at state senior level up there. The Northeast AFL is the state league up that way. So in amongst the listed players, he's been a star this year and just a graceful mover, a bit of a Rolls-Royce motor. He just looks to be the complete package to play in the midfield. So someone will bid for him and drag the Suns into using one of their four choices in the top 10 on him for sure.
Kev, how many... No, I'll rephrase this. What is the most asked question by the clubs? What is the thing that they most look for in these young blokes that are coming through your systems?
Well, I'd reckon, will he do the work? Will he do the work? Has he got the attitude, the hard edge, the potential resilience to do the work to make the grade? They've made their own judgment on their talent. Mm. They've watched them, observed them, but they'll ask us that question. They'll also be probing the individual boy in interviews to see whether there's anything that'll stop him from doing the work required to make the grade, because they're nowhere, you know, as a group, as let's say you're 80 that goes through, they're not all ready to play game one.
Now, how many are they,
Kev? Very hard.
How many do you reckon will be out of this group?
15 or 20.
Yeah.
15 or 20 capable. Yeah. These sorts of boys, depending on the club they're at, but, you know, names like Ainsworth and a kid called Taranto,
yep.
Bowes, these boys, Will Brody, they're ready to play right away. They're physically well prepared, and the midfield boys are like that, as you can imagine. If they're all the taller guys, well, it might take them a little bit of time, but the names I'm looking at are all capable of playing, well, straight away being in the first couple of games of the year and having an impact at AFL level. So the clubs are really excited about the draft, and Fremantle, they've got a choice in the top 10, haven't they?
Yeah, seven or eight, depending on the academies. Yeah,
depending on how the academies go. So they're going to get a terrific player there. The clubs aren't letting on. That's the game they all play.
Well, especially with the academy influence now. Can you quickly explain to us all how the academy and father-son pick process works?
Yeah. Well, as we go into the draft next Friday, there'll be roughly 10 players that will be bid upon. The three father-sons and about 7 academy players. So when it gets to a point where a club believes that one of those 10 is good enough at that point to take, they'll bid for him. Let's make it simple. Let's say at choice, where's Freo, at about 7? If they call out Jack Bowes, Gold Coast have to match that bid and take him at choice 7. They do that by upgrading using points.
Yep.
The points they have for other drafts, choices on the board that they've accumulated. And choice 7, it'd be worth about 1,700 points, I reckon. So it's a whole sliding scale from 3,000 points for number 1 right down to about 10 points for number 72. It drops the whole way down. So you can upgrade. There's a formula there that's right in front of every club. It's all computerised. So they'll tell you the cost of actually upgrading. If you want to push up and take him at the choice where someone else's bid, you need to use your points, accumulate, upgrade, and then if, say, the Fremantle bid was then matched by Gold, Fremantle then become the next choice at 8, and Gold Coast win choice 7 through upgrading. So that's the way it works, and it adds another element. We'd expect that two bids will come for two very famous players, Peter Dacos' son, Josh, Gavin Brown's son, and that is Callum Brown, who made All-Australian this year. So that might be a bit later on, so that'll be one that we'll be watching very closely. As the clubs won't want Collingwood to get a complete free kick, so they'll be sort of making their own calls as to where they see it value. And the interesting part is that sometimes they don't match the bid. The classics last year, Josh Dunkley, Swans didn't match the bid. Bid coming about 22 from the Bulldogs. They said that's a bit early. Didn't match it, and he then plays in a winning grand final against them 12 months later.
Yeah.
So you'd be very, very careful you don't match the bid.
And again, quickly, a couple of with local interest, bit of emotion around the likes of Matt DeBoer and Mitch Brown, delisted by their respective clubs. If they haven't been picked up as a free agent through the free agent listing process, will they be in this draft or even the rookie draft on Monday week?
Yes, they can be, but it's more likely they'd go as a free agent, you'd think. Clubs can just pick them rather than, you know, use a draft choice on them. But you wouldn't dismiss it, you know, the rookie draft. They are putting safety players in there, guys that might be able to help them at some stage throughout the year, and in their view, fill a gap or two. So that might be their better chance.
Kev, really appreciate you giving up a few minutes of your time here on a Saturday morning. Thanks, mate.
No worries, guys, and we look forward to next Friday night.
And we might tune in next Saturday morning.
No problem. See ya. All the best.